What is up, everyone? Welcome back to me and welcome back to Tark. What is going on, Tark?
Chaz, I feel like this is a voice I haven't heard in ages, man. It's like you're a blast from the past.
I'll tell you what, I just heard Craig's voice for the first time in a while, and I'm already up the recording. I kind of mixed up the recording commands there, so we're off to a great start. I'm super rusty at this, apparently.
Should be music to your ears, man.
Yeah. Welcome back, everyone, to the QS cast. I know it's been a while. Really appreciate everyone jumping in here. We wanted to get a podcast off before the Pro Tour, Mythic Championship, Cleveland started tomorrow. So that's going to be Friday the 22nd. So we wanted to get a cast in here, kind of like a prelude. We normally try to do this before these coverages start, because it's normally for 2 days straight. It's just like bedlam. But you can find a majority of the coverage is going to be in Discord. For anyone that has not been part of our coverage before, it is moved primarily to Discord. But emails will be sent out throughout the day, kind of highlighting what we see on the floor. We do have a floor reporter. We will get vendor kind of testimonials. We try to get those in there before the actual constructed round start. And throughout the day, we will kind of report what we see and kind of what is happening, any new tech that we might see. So that's just kind of what you'll be expecting from the emails. But, you know, as always, and just kind of the nature of, you know, how things go these days, Discord will be the most up-to-date kind of real-time coverage that you can find. So it's strongly suggested that you should follow along if you want to, follow along for the Mythic Championship coverage.
Yeah, it should be good. We've got another insider on the floor this time. We love it when insiders volunteer to do floor coverage. So just for everyone, you know, out there listening, in the future, if you're an insider and you're interested in doing coverage and there's an event near you, absolutely volunteer. We help you get there and set you up and whatnot, and you know, put you in a place to stay if you need to stay overnight. So, you know, we do what we can to support, but we love having insiders do our coverage. And so we've got another one. Barnatog is the user that's going to be Discord user that's going to be there this weekend. Should be good, man. Should be fun.
Yeah, big shout out to Barnatog. Very much appreciated, doing that and, providing that information to everyone here. Man, I'm glad to be back. This is awesome. I've been, itching to podcast, and just, it's fun for me. And seriously, I can't express enough, like, how awesome everyone, has been in my absence. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable, everyone that has reached out to me, and it was like seriously amazing to me. It's because of you all that I'm back here today. And back doing the cast and back in Discord. Made that possible.
It was kind of a, well, I don't want to be melodramatic here and say it was a dark time, but there was a hole that was not going to be filled easily, Chaz. And we're stoked that you're back.
I'm stoked too.
So everybody knows it was, everything that happened was kind of sudden. And when Chaz let me know that, he was, they were able to work things out and he was able to come back, I was stoked and I'm very excited. And yeah, I think we should just onward and upward. I think it's going to be even better, you know.
I will have kind of a longer post about that, but I'm going to, just so everyone is on the same page, I'm going to forego that until after the Pro Tour coverage. That's kind of like my immediate concern right now, making sure that goes off as best I can without a hitch. And, I'll just kind of get into all of that, what, folks can expect going forward, what I'm going to try and be, doing, and just be as transparent as I can about all of that. So, that will be after the Mythic Championship coverage. Like I said, I wanted to make sure that that went off, you know, this goes off without a hitch, and that you all get the coverage you all deserve and pay for. So, you know.
And with that, let's do it.
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right. So, first up on the docket, Chaz, I know we were talking before the cast. Really quick, we're not going to go too much into this stuff, but we obviously had the big TCG player update announcement, and we had the Wizards announcement about no more MSRP. And then yesterday, we just got an announcement about, you know, how to qualify for the Mythic Championships and all that. So just so you all know, we're going to go into those things in more detail probably on Monday or cast early next week. We don't want to deep dive into all of that right now because we want to focus on Pro Tour, but we know all that stuff, you know, needs to be addressed. There's some interesting things going on, and you know, we want to offer some perspective on that. So we will do that early next week, but we can briefly just touch on some of these things quickly. You know, regarding, we can just start with the TCG player updates. I will just say this, and again, we won't go too deep into it. I will say that overall, I think they are a net positive for sellers on TCG player. However, I do think they do pose a challenge in some ways. I think that there's going to have to be sort of a seller's going to have to kind of reassess how they look at particularly very low-cost cards. For those that don't know, essentially the TCG player update for non-direct sellers, because most of us here are non-direct, they essentially allowed and they removed the $2 threshold from a minimum sale threshold. So if you want to go on TCG player and buy a 25-cent card, you can now. You no longer have to spend $2. However, anything under $5 receives a 78-cent automatic shipping charge tacked onto it. So your 25-cent purchase would then be what, $1, $3 or whatever. Now, that's great. That's great for sales because that means that theoretically sales should increase. However, this is going to increase a lot of labor and materials and whatnot for sellers. So there's a lot of things going on with that, which we can get into more again on the next cast. But overall, I do think it's a net positive. Chaz, did you have anything you want to add, or did you just want to wait until next cast for that?
Yeah, I think, you know, your kind of input will suffice there. I haven't really got, I mean, you kind of all have to forgive me. I'm kind of like catching up to some of this stuff. I tried to just focus on, you know, giving my thoughts for just the Mythic, champ, you know, it being standard. So I wanted to kind of focus on that, but yeah, I mean, I think you kind of nailed it there, Tark. I kind of, I'm in the same camp and mindset with you there on the TCG aspect and those changes.
Yeah. So next up is the removal of MSRP. Again, we won't go too deep into this. However, once again, I think this is a net positive. I think this benefits the international markets most of all because they had a real challenge having to deal with the domestic focused MSRP and then having to sort of justify, you know, higher costs and whatnot. Now without that, this makes it much easier for those markets to charge what they reasonably and realistically should be charging because they have import taxes, they have higher distribution costs, etc. So overall, again, this is, I think, a net positive. I also think that this allows local stores, if they're charging $130, $140 a box, to not have to justify it to every customer that comes in when they say, well, wait a minute, the box is only supposed to be $100 now, you know, because stores have to make a living and selling boxes is harder than ever these days. So I think it's perfectly fine that stores now don't have to sort of justify an increased box cost. I think it's very important to remember that one, the precedent for what $100 boxes has been set for, I don't know, over a decade now. So people getting scared that this is suddenly going to make things all over the place, that's just not the way it's going to happen. You have a precedent set for price. You also have distributor costs, which are going to be fixed. So the box prices are still going to be cost a certain amount from the distributor. And people being afraid that the distributors are just going to jack up the price, that is not realistic to think because the stores are the distributors' customers. If they gouge the stores, they will lose their business, meaning they will cut off their magic revenue, and that's one of the largest pieces of revenues for these distributors. So it's not realistic to think that distributors are just going to go, great, there's no more MSRP. We're going to hike up the price, you know, to a crazy high amount, and we're going to just make it difficult for stores. That's just not going to happen. if anything, the market will adjust. If there's room for prices to go up across the board, then they will go up and the market will adjust accordingly. If there's not, they won't. That's just the way it's going to work. That's basically how I see it. I think it's overall, again, net positive. The other concern is that, okay, well, Wizards is going to start, you know, pumping out high-end premium product and just going to slap a price on it. Well, yeah, that's possible, but they were going to do that anyways. If they were going to put out If they were going to put out a $400 MSRP product, which they did, which Mythic Edition was essentially a $400 MSRP product, they're just going to make it $400 or $500 anyways. The MSRP would have been whatever it was before. Now they're just taking off the MSRP and they're just going to charge a price. It's kind of the same situation. So, you know, if they're going to make premium high end products and charge whatever they're going to charge, they were going to do that with MSRP or without. So. Again, we won't go too deep into that. We can address these things more in a later cast, but that's kind of where I'm at with MSRP. I don't know, Chaz, do you have anything?
Yeah, we are going to go a little bit more into this, but I think, you know, I'm kind of where you are. I think overall, I mean, when you really look at this, it's like kind of a non-news, like a non-factor, non-move kind of thing. I mean, they're right. As the game is kind of reaching more global markets, MSRP doesn't really make sense anymore. So when they do say that, I mean, I believe them, and it's true. So it's not like they were trying to, you know, have this, oh, you know, we're not doing this for X reason. I mean, they clearly gave their reason. And it makes sense because it's true. I do think it may have more negative effects for individuals that have not known any of the prices of products or did not kind of get – had no prior knowledge of, like Tark said, those kind of set prices of boxes, and they kind of have known these prices for a long time. But you got to think that stores are still have to be competitive with each other. So, you know, I agree when Tark says, you know, I don't feel like stores are going to be starting to charge like $160 a box. I mean, they still have to be competitive with each other. So, overall, yeah, I just don't think it's that big of an issue. If anything, it's a net positive for stores and for folks that are in this kind of aspect of the game, if anything.
Yep, and moving on to the Mythic Championship qualifiers, not much to go into here. Again, this is something we can discuss more in detail next week. I will say that I think it's really cool. Those that were afraid of paper somehow going anywhere, it's very clear that there is a heavy emphasis on the paper magic. I know that FNMs are now offering, I think they might have even doubled the points you receive. I think they're called challenger points now or whatever. I believe planeswalker points have been replaced with challenger points. I'm not sure exactly what they're called now, but I believe it's challenger points. But I think you get double the challenger points than you would have before for attending FNMs. So definitely looks like a heavy emphasis on paper, a ton of magic to be played. I think these paths to the Mythic Championships are going to get people playing a lot of magic, and it looks great. I mean, like I said, we can go into detail more next week, but from what I see, it looks like it's just going to get people playing a lot more magic.
Yeah. Look, we've made so many comparisons to the Pokemon TCG at this point. I think it's like a meme. But whatever the kids are calling it these days. But look, it's like 10 times the amount of qualification on paper as it is on on Magic Arena. So I really don't see there should be any concern of, you know, paper going anywhere. I mean, they're obviously committed to tabletop. I mean, they are using that nomenclature. And like I said, I mean, when you look at the amount of qualifications to tabletop in comparison to their online platforms, I mean, it's a 10 to 1. So, you know, I'm pretty confident that paper is going to be sticking around.
All right. So with that, let's talk about some Mythic Championship stuff.
Yeah, let's do that. So the format is standard. And just so, I mean, this will be in the emails. But I will say it here as well. Day one begins at 9:10 a.m. So this is going to be Cleveland time. So, you know, make sure you kind of have your time zone conversions. But There is three rounds of booster draft, and then there's going to be five rounds of standard. So we can think around standard starting around, I want to say 1:30, 2 o'clock, somewhere in that time frame, because we have the three rounds, plus they, I believe there's an hour for lunch or a half hour for lunch or something like that, and then the standard rounds start. So you'll start receiving emails. We'll try to get out a vendor email before Constructed starts, and then you'll receive a few emails while the Constructed rounds are underway. That being said, you know, each one of these Pro Tours or Mythic Champions or what have you, since they've been pushed back, I'm not gonna, you know, lie to you, you know, anyone here, you know, some expectations need to be tempered here. We do see some price increases, but, you know, unless there's something that really has literally never been on camera before, the Pro Tours have been a little less explosive, but, you know, have seen some more healthy increases across the board, as, you know, cards are shown on camera and are played.
Previously is what generally tends to happen is your safer bets tend to be your really, really low and entry point cards, like your really low cost cards. The days of buying $10 mythics and them blowing up, not that they're gone, but that's much riskier these days, buying expensive cards and seeing them blow up. It used to be that you could buy into mid-cost mythics or even sometimes expensive mythics, and they would pop at Pro Tours. But, you know, with the scheduling and the way the formats are going, it's usually better off, you know, getting into really, you know, like I think last Pro Tour we called out, you know, I called out to Kali Honor Guard, and that ended up going off pretty well. So usually it's the lower cost cards that are safer, and you can maybe even sort of diversify into a few of them. But you know, yeah, it's a little tougher because the formats are a bit more locked in. And yes, things still do pop. We can't predict everything. Obviously, nobody can. You know, we do our best, and we're pretty good. But there will be things that just show up. And you know, what we try and do is we try and save you money. We try and go for things that look like they have demonstrated value as far across many decks as possible and look like they're primed to do well. That's what we try and do.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and as with anything, timing is key. I mean, you kind of want to be, you know, having these cards and, you know, riding the kind of Pro Tour increase and then kind of get out of them. Because that is kind of the trend of what happens is these cards tend to increase at least for a little bit of time, and then they kind of, you know, wane as, you know, we get back into that kind of monotony of, you know, standard until, you know, the next set comes out. What I do see I think we're going to see a similar Pro Tour to the previous Pro Tour. So that's Guilds of Ravnica, where it was just a pretty stocked aggro meta on this scene. I mean, if you look back, I believe there was like 5 out of 8 deck lists were Boros aggro, and none of those cards went away, and they're just as strong now as they have been. And if you just look, I mean, Azorius aggro is right up there. And with recent kind of finishes here, I mean, it's kind of looking that way. I mean, there's some other stuff kind of sprinkled in there. I don't think the Nexus, Nexus is definitely going to show up, but I don't know if it's going to be as big on this Pro Tour. I just think the aggro lists are just so streamlined and so efficient. That kind of leads me to my first overall pick, I guess, if we're going to draft style. And that's going to be, because it's, again, like Tarkan said, across multiple decks, is going to be Tithe Taker. This card had some hype in the beginning. It's kind of settled at that $1.50 mark. And I feel as a rare, this could increase over the course of the next week. If this, you know, is seeing a lot of play, seeing a lot of camera time, it may, you know, decrease after that. But I believe there will be a good opportunity to kind of buy in, ride the Pro Tour wave increase. These can certainly double up, go four, maybe even push $5 if there's, you know, a huge showing at the Pro Tour. And I think Aggro is going to have a pretty good showing at this Pro Tour.
Totally agree with you, Chaz. I'm on the Aggro as well. I think we're probably looking at a more aggressive Pro Tour. Absolutely agree that I think Nexus is going to show up. However, I think it's going to be hated out. I think it's going to be 1.5 at best at this event. It might, you know, these are the kind of decks that someone gets lucky and spikes a tournament. There might be one at the top eights, but I don't predict Nexus to do a lot of damage at this event. I just think too many people have been prepping for it or are going to be prepared for it. definitely love Tithe Taker. I think that's an awesome call. I'm on board with that as well. My other pick for me is going to be, where is this card? Hang on one second. Lost it. Rixmati. Rixmati is in not only Rakdos aggro decks, but it's also in the mid-range decks, the Rakdos mid-range. I love Rixmati because it's being played across multiple competitive decks. It's really, really cheap right now. I think you can get them for $1. And it's just a four of. It's, again, it plays both in aggro and mid-range, and I definitely think there's going to be lots of Rakdos and red-based decks on the aggressive front. They're going to show up. And I think, you know, if that one does well, that's one that's got plenty of room to move to maybe $3.
Yeah, that is a good one. It's interesting because Rixmati actually has been performing since the set came out. And there was a lot of hype around the Boros aggro list and everything. And, you know, this was coupled with Judith a lot. Now we're not seeing too much of Judith, but we're still seeing Rixmati in both these lists, mid-range and aggro. So that's, you know, I agree. That's why I would feel more confident buying into Rixmati, especially such a low price. I mean, I think they're like less than $1.
Yep. Yeah, and it's just played heavily now in the form, in standard.
Yeah, I mean, it's great buy list fodder too. So that's kind of where our first stop was. Now, if you want to kind of go a little bit further than that, I mean, you have a couple of cards that you can consider. The problem is, you know, there's not a lot left in terms of, you know, you look at something like, what is it, Hydroid Crassus. Well, that card really knocked me around this time. But I was like, damn, you know, that could be, I'm feeling that card, especially if we go back to the spoiler discussions. I remember like, you know, it feels okay, but I just don't know if it's like Jace's Ingenuity at the end of the day for 5 mana, and I don't know if that's like good enough, and turns out it is. But man, I wish I was a little more aggressive on that card. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the only other mythics I feel are like not even like worth even buying into is like something like the Scargan Hellkite, but that's not even like showing up in huge numbers.
Yeah, I mean, so you've got some past performers.
Seraph of the Scales. Likely,
yeah, so, you have, like, for example, you have Benlish Marshall, which is still also very cheap. That saw a spike in the last Pro Tour. It's perfectly reasonable. You know, that's back down to, I think, $1.50. I mean, that could end up jumping again. I mean, I think there is definitely something to these white decks. They did well at the Grand Prix. So I think there's something there. Benlish Marshall is also cheap. There's been a lot of chatter about this mono blue deck. There's just no real actionables in that deck because everything is common and uncommon. And Tempest Djinn is $4. So, you know, you're basically banking on Tempest Djinn. You're banking on that deck dominating and Tempest Djinn, you know, hitting $8 as a rare aggro card. I just don't see that happening. I don't see it happening. So while I love the blue deck, I think that deck's probably going to do, you know, it's probably going to show up and may do fairly well at the Mythic Championship. I don't really see any actionables in it because it's mostly a lot of commons and uncommons that are already, you know, $1+ and Tempest Djinn.
There's literally one rare in that deck.
There's Entrancing Melody, and Entrancing Melody is cute, but I don't think, I mean, that card's also, I think, $1.50. I don't see that becoming a $3. It's like a one of or two of in the deck. It's not really a core component of the deck. It's in a lot of sideboards. I just don't see that being like a $3-$4 sideboard standard card. I'm just not seeing it. But other than that, there's not much in that deck. I think it's a great deck, but Terramander and Tempest Djinn are already overpriced, in my opinion.
Yeah. Guillaume says a new rule for 2019, no common picks. I think that pertains to you because I don't think I've picked a common before. Maybe I have. Maybe one time. But it had probably to do something with paupers, something like that. Common picks. Okay. Got it. That's fine. Benelish Marshall can go with Tark. You're good on that.
Looking around some other ones, you know, Gruul Spellbreaker, that's a four
that's,
of.
In that's the- one I like a lot. It is a little bit of a higher buy-in. But Gruul Spellbreaker is really showing, it's kind of strength in this meta.
Yeah, it does a lot of work.
It does a lot of work. The problem is the buy-in's a little higher, so that would probably go lower on my kind of priority list there. We listed them. We're kind of listing them in the chat as we go along, but. I think Rick's Mahdi should probably go to the top since it's the cheapest of the bunch.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of where we like to go first, you know, just kind of how Tark and I like to do things. So I'd probably go Rick's Mahdi, just to kind of recap, Rick's Mahdi, Tithe Taker, Benelish Marshall, and what was this last one? Gruul Spellbreaker.
Yeah, you know, there are other cards that are good, obviously, but the problem is the buy-ins are too high for some of these. Like, I was looking at Hostage Taker, that's a $4 buy-in. I was looking at Goblin Chain Whirler, that's a $4 buy-in. Dire Fleet Daredevils, like, almost $3 buy-in. But there's a lot of these core cards that are going to be all over the place, and they're just too high. Legion War Boss, another one that's pretty interesting. Same thing, Growth Chamber Guardian. All these cards are really interesting, will probably do a lot of work, but they're just too expensive. You know, we're trying to find targets that seem like they're underpriced for what they could do at the event.
I mean, Tempest Djinn under $2, you are pretty much only riding an increase on the Pro Tour and out of there. Like, even if that,
I mean, I'm looking. Where are you finding Tempest Djinns for under $2? That's not a secret place or a like Facebook deal.
Right.
I'm not seeing any.
I mean, if you can get them at that price, obviously that's fine. But
yeah, that's a buy list price or less than buy list. So sure. Yeah. I mean, any of these cards, if you get a buy list or less, you're good. But I'm looking at Tempest Djinns, and I'm not seeing. Nothing under. You know.
We were discussing before cast too. What also kind of made me really confident on Tithe Taker as well is the spread was extremely thin.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Yes, I am. I need to go back to my statement. I was looking at the... It looks like you can get Tempest Djinns at, like... You can get them under $2. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I was looking. My search was incorrect on Tempest Djinn. So, yes, then I apologize. My search was incorrect. If they're, like, $1.75, I do think that's a good price. I think that's a very good price for Tempest Djinn.
Yeah. We kind of... Yeah, so the two comments, Chris, this kind of feels like the most mature meta. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been that trend since they pushed back the Pro Tour. What was it, 4 or 5 weeks since release? I mean, the kind of breakout, you know, cards that just spiked to $30, like, Torrential Gearhulk, that kind of stuff, like that kind of has not happened for a while. We're just mainly looking at cards, low buy-in, you know, thin spreads that can increase over the course of a Pro Tour, but you're out of these quickly. Like, you're not really holding on to them. As players, you know, are looking for these cards and they go to your store, I mean, you kind of find that small increase, or you buy list them out for, a moderate increase, and, you know, you're out of there. The one mythic I wanted to look at, I just don't see a lot of mythics increasing a lot, but what do you feel about Seraph of the Scales? I mean, it's kind of increased since it has released, since the spoilers. I don't know if this is a mythic that can get to like $20. Maybe it can, but it's a pretty solid mythic, and it's seeing more play, especially in these control lists, and they're not many, but I mean, if control does well, feels like that's a card that everybody will be in on.
To be honest with you,
the chart on it looks pretty nice as well. I agree with Chris.
I kind of like Aurelia Exemplar of Justice, just because it's way lower and it's definitely a sideboard in some of these Boros lists. And I don't think it's in the main or not. But I mean, you're talking about a $3 buy-in as opposed to a $9 buy-in. Yeah, I mean, if the control decks if the control list can get there, then Seraph is fine. I mean, like I said, I mean, I think Aurelia is a nice hedge. It's only $3. I mean, that's pretty low for an in standard mythic.
Yeah, there's a lot of low standard mythics, and any one like those are the cards that can just that will increase no just because they're that low. Right. You know, if Scargan Hellkite shows up, that's going to increase. It's like $3. If like Kaya or Jace Cunning Castaway, or like any mythic that's like sub $5 shows up, it's just pretty much going to automatically increase.
I know you're trying to salvage yourself from Jace Cunning Castaway.
Oh, that is totally too far gone for me. But
I don't think that's going to show up at this Mythic Championship. But I'm wishing you luck, Kaz.
Listen, every Mythic Championship, it can show up. I will say it may show up. So I'll say this. I'll tell you what. It's played more now than ever. So I have that on my side.
And doesn't it? It has that new. It's got that new thing that makes that spits out other. What are they called? What does it spit out? The illusions or whatever.
Yeah.
And now there's that creature that also spits out more illusions. It's that got printed. So hey, yeah, you know
the squid.
Who knows, man? Maybe this will be your day.
Hey, you never know. G Tutor. I love Scargan Hellkite. The problem is it just like doesn't show up as like consistently enough. But when it does show up, it's usually a four of. Because I believe it was an RPTQ. Where was it? London? I think it showed up as a four of, and I think it was like top eight or fourth place or something like that. So yeah, I mean, you don't have to sell me on Scargan Hellkite. I love the card. I mean, I bought into them at $6, and that even seemed like a great price. They've dropped since then. It's just such a great card to be in on at like $3.
We did have a couple.
That will most likely be on social sites, though. I think the kind of going rate for them is still like $4 to $5 on like TCG, but I've seen them as low as like $3 on social websites. So, you know, obviously grab those, but. I mean, $5 for that kind of mythic just seems, you know, awesome.
We did have a couple things picks that weren't for the Mythic Championships. We can throw those out there really quick, and then we can kind of get back and wrap out anything else to say about the Mythic Championships. So I've got a long term hold. I noticed that Jace Vryn's Prodigy, Baby Jace, is down to like $15. I think it was less than that. That seems way too low for that card. I think that's a $30 card waiting to happen. And I think you can still probably get them under $15. I think that's a great, great pickup now. And then, you know, 8 to 12 months, that thing's going to be $30 again. It's legacy staple, modern staple, play in EDH, just all around eternal format, all star. And it only has two printings. I don't count the Comic-Con printing because that's not a real printing, but it's got the From the Vault, which is a low print run product, fairly low print run, and then it's got the you know, the first print Magic Origins. So I look at something like Damnation. We were talking about Chaz, and you know, you had noticed that Damnation went from like $12 to $30 again. I don't see any reason why Jace Vryn's Prodigy can't go from $12 to $30 as well.
Yeah, it might take some buying sprees to kind of get it back to that point, but I do agree. I mean, some of these modern and EDH staples are just so hard to keep down. I mean, we were just looking the other day, and I believe it was even discussed in the Discord even, you know, before a while ago, like just some of these cards. I mean, Toxic Deluge, Damnation, Craterhoof Behemoth, just all these cards, just they get that price slash and then they just start increasing pretty much right from there. I mean, Craterhoof Behemoth was like, what, $5? $6? Back to $25, $30. Toxic Deluge, right on Goldfish, $6. It's pushing $25. I do agree that if any card can kind of rebound like that again, it's Jace Vryn's Prodigy.
Yep.
The issue is, I mean, it's not like there's no kind of like immediate reason. Like this card is played in X deck. I know sometimes it shows up in the Izzet Phoenix lists. I don't know if it's like consistent play, but I do know it kind of shows up there every now and then. Oh yeah, Death Shadow definitely rebounded.
Ultimate Masters, you know, I'm always curious about Cavern of Souls. I think Cavern of Souls is still an $80 card. I know it's like 50 to 55 bucks right now, or maybe I guess market price is 60, but I think that's gonna, I think that still has a ceiling of around 75 to 80 bucks.
Probably.
Otherwise, Ultimate Masters.
It was around that before the reprint, wasn't it?
Before the reprint, it was like 80 bucks. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll go right back there.
Ultimate Masters, to be candid, I haven't looked at that recently, that release. I'd have to check. Off the top of my head, that's the first one that comes to mind, but I need to do a little bit more digging and take a look. Guys, you like anything from Ultimate Masters?
Yeah, like the whole set. I mean, it's like kind of messed up, but I mean, it really, the entire set almost. I mean, it's pretty much past its low, so anything at this point is just going to keep increasing, right? That's usually kind of how it goes. I know we talked about, what was it? What was the set that just came out?
Ravnica Allegiance?
No, the Masters set. Damn. Oh, we were just talking about it. Yeah, Ultimate Masters. Thank you. Jeez. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we talked about it when it came out. We talked about it so much that the lows have, I think, are either here or has definitely passed on some of these cards. And they're only just going to keep increasing from here. I mean, you get that kind of temporary price reduction where you should be buying in, and then, you know, all these cards just start to increase again.
Yeah. Phil noted that box toppers haven't really moved. I still think that box toppers are going to experience a buyout at some point. And I don't think that they're just going to be sort of like these steady slow gainers. I think that they're going to get spiked. I think someone or a group of someones are going to kind of make a move on those, similar to the masterpieces. So that's what I anticipate will happen with those. At what point, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised what happened within the year.
If you had to pick one card from Ultimate Masters to increase, what would it be?
Oh man, you put me on the spot. I'm just going to lean into Cavern of Souls. It's not going to see the greatest percentage probably, but I definitely think Cavern of Souls is going to be back to $80. How about you?
I'm kind of leaning towards Goryeo's Vengeance.
That's a good one.
I don't know. I just kind of feel like all it needs to do is just get back on the radar, and it's just one of those like $30 cards again.
Chad is talking about Noble Hierarch. Yes.
Nobles. Yeah. Nobles.
My poor Noble Hierarch, which got close to $100, but got reprinted before it hit there. So.
No, there's no way. It's increasing for sure. There's no
way. Well, no, but remember I originally back like last year or something, I called Noble Hierarch to be $100, mm-hmm. and then it got reprinted before it got there, and now it's like $40. So I think 60, 70 bucks, absolutely, back where it was, but I don't think there's $100 is in the foreseeable future for Noble Hierarch.
If you picked up, yeah, so there's people in the chat, if you picked up Noble Hierarchs in like the 30s, like is being purported here, good on you.
Yes.
You're looking good already.
1,000+, if money permitted, on Noble Hierarch at $30.
I mean, as many, I would just keep buying them if you could get them.
Yeah, sure. I mean, $30 Hierarchs, those things are going to be at least $50. That's a
lot. I don't know about Engineered Explosives, but I think Noble Hierarch can push 50 easily.
Yeah, I mean, Noble Hierarch is a 4 of in like multiple decks.
EE is still one of those cards that's like, I don't want to get too off topic, and I don't want to drag this out. We are going to cast again. I don't want to push this too much, but just to recap, I'm just going to go through it again. So from kind of most confident, and I feel like these are good buy-ins between the two of us. So this is for the Mythic Championship only. This is going to be one Rix Mati. I love that one, Tark. It's the cheapest buy-in. Two will be Tithe Taker. Three, Benelish Marshall. Four, what was four? Gruul Spellbreaker. And then, pretty much we can go from there. I mean, it's just going to have to be, we're going to have to watch, as coverage unfolds. But, there could be a mythic that increases from where it is. But We did discuss a lot of the cheap mythics that, you know, if they do show up, are bound to increase if they do show up. I mean, under $5 mythics that show up to or you know, our mainstays and staples and decks that are covered on screen will most likely increase. I mean, it's a pretty good chance.
Yeah, I also want to add in there, again, I commented earlier about Tempest Djinn. I was looking at my research wrong, and it's not $4. That card is, if it's still under $2, that's around buy list. That's a very good buy. Tempest Djinn will definitely be at the Mythic Champ. So if you're getting them at that price, I think that's great.
Yeah. Our kind of normal picks for this cast, Tarkan talked about Jace Vryn's Prodigy, and that was pretty much it, right?
Yeah, one more I want to call out that I just want people to note, don't go out and buy them now necessarily, but Domri, the bad planeswalker, well, the quote-unquote bad planeswalker from the recent set, is now at $5, and I suspect will drop even more. I mean, this is the classic case of if you can get planeswalkers at $2 or $3, you should be buying them because they just always tend to eventually go up to more than that. So while he's not the greatest planeswalker, I mean, anything a $2 Domri, $3 Domri is a great buy, in my opinion.
I mean, $1.50, and even if you have to pay a little bit on shipping for Tithe Taker, this was just a question, seems fine. I think like the buy list is like what we looked, Tark, like 125, 130.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's on, Tithe Taker is like 130 to 150, something like that.
Yeah, 130 buy list, so.
Yeah. So you're good on that one.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
All right, folks. Appreciate everyone joining in. I'm going to rip this to Discord immediately, and I'll try to have this up on the site as soon as possible. But just kind of my workflow, this will be right to Discord, and you can listen to it there. It might get broke up into two parts, depending how long it is. But yeah. Appreciate everyone joining in. I know it's the middle of the day, but appreciate everyone's support and glad to be back. So we will do this again soon, right after the Mythic Championship coverage.
Welcome back, Chaz, and QS Cast is back up.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Yep. So that's going to be us signing out for this one. We will see you all soon.